So let us open our Bible to Psalm 46. I will read the whole psalm, Psalm 46. Let us hear the infallible word of God. Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. So some of you may know that this psalm is said to be one of Martin Luther's favorite psalms. During the Reformation, he composed the famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, which is based on this Psalm 46. And some commentators mention that Luther often encouraged his co-workers, the Reformers, by saying, come, let us sing the 46th psalm, and then let enemies do their worst. This psalm gave Luther and other Reformers great strength and encouragement in the midst of their trials and difficulties during their days. Some people even claim this psalm to be the so-called theme song of the Reformation in the history. Indeed, this Psalm 46 does give us a strong encouragement by starting, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And actually, this statement is a really good summary of what the psalmist is saying in the rest of the psalm. This psalm has three stanzas, each divided by the word Selah. This word is ambiguous, and some theologians regard the meaning of this word as kind of stop or to pause, which punctuates kind of the psalm in their meaning and its flow and development. Others claim that this word is rather a kind of musical or reading instruction for the psalms. And in this case of Psalm 46, three stanzas are divided by the word Selah really beautifully, really developing the thought of this psalmist in which he expresses why he can declare with confidence that God is our refuge and God is our strength. So let us hear this word and let's consider why. Can he be so confident? Where does his conviction come from, which encouraged Martin Luther 500 years ago and still encourages us even today reading this word? The key is found in one particular statement found in verses 7 and 11, the last verses of both the second and the third stanza. Here the psalmist repeats, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So in other words, this psalmist believes that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, because the Lord himself is with him. And this is really a wonderful encouragement, both for the psalmist and for us living today. So this morning we want to pay attention and to reflect upon this delightfully heartening idea as we look at the flow and the development and the sequence of this Psalm 46. So let us first begin by looking at the first stanza, which is verses 1 through 3. And this stanza describes the background of the psalmist's fear. And here the psalmist pictures the chaotic circumstances around him. Verses 2 and 3 reads, "Though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." In the scriptures, mountains are often used as a symbol of kind of order or stability, whereas the sea, on the other hand, represents like the chaotic circumstances. Therefore, the psalmist is illustrating the situation where everything is kind of falling into chaos here. The mountain is falling into the sea. However, under these circumstances, he still boldly claims, "Therefore, we will not fear, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Brothers and sisters, have you ever had the same kind of experience as this psalmist? Indeed, we are surrounded by the chaotic world every day. Does that sound familiar to you? Have you ever felt like the world around you is actually kind of falling apart? Well, maybe some of you have experienced such a terrible experience that made you feel that way. But if not in a larger scale even, it still happens to many of us or all of us regularly on a smaller scale every day. It feels like the whole world is falling apart. That is the psalmist's experience. And it is not unusual for us, the God's people, to feel that way. Because we are surrounded by the world that is affected by the sin of mankind. In a sense, we must recognize the tension between us and the world. We are too still affected by our sins, but we need to recognize that this world we are living in is indeed affected and fallen by the sin. And this is a situation in which we find that our God is our refuge and our strength. Nevertheless, it is still very challenging for us to kind of control our emotions, such as fear. We don't really normally think, "Let us like fear twice today," or "Let us fear only once this morning." We feel that fear is something that happens to us, and circumstances around us kind of hit us unexpectedly. And under those circumstances, we fear. We are afraid. And in today's psalm, the psalmist is also kind of hit by sudden troubles. The stable mountains are moving into the midst of a chaotic sea. Then why is he not afraid? Because he knows that God is his refuge God is his strength and present help. So in other words, we fear because we think God is absent from us. We fear because we feel that God is absent from us. When I was a child, this illustration is very, really lighter than John's illustration he shared us earlier. But when I was a child, a young kid, I got lost in a large supermarket in Japan. And I was so panicked because that suddenly happened to me. I felt like I did nothing wrong. Maybe I did, but it suddenly happened to me. And I felt like I won't be able to see my mom and dad again. And looking back at that experience, I think I was afraid. I was in fear because my parents, the ones who guide me and protect me, were absent when I was lost. And likewise, we fear when we feel our Lord, our God, who protects and encourages and helps us, is sort of absent from us. But overcoming our fears is easier said than done, I think. It is still sometimes difficult for us, as Christians, to overcome our fear or control our fear. Even when we try to remember that God is our refuge and strength, even if we try to recognize that the Lord is with us, we fear often. So how are we able to feel the same way this psalmist felt? What did the psalmist know that enabled him to conquer, to overcome his fear in the midst of the chaotic circumstance? These questions should draw us into the next stanza of this psalm. So let us next look at the second stanza. And in this second stanza, the psalmist takes his eyes off the earth around him, and he turns his attention into the reality of the heaven. He lifts his eyes upwards away from the chaos of this present world, upward into heaven. And there he sees peace in heaven. Indeed, the same thing is happening, I think, in the experience of the people of God in the New Testament as well. And for example, in the book of Revelation, God's people living in the midst of persecution, difficulty, suffering, are shown the heavenly worship of God. And we as God's people find our ultimate peace, first of all, in the reality of the heaven. It is there in heaven where the writer of this Psalm 46 first sees a river in the city of God, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Here is a contrast between raging waters of the earthly sea, the chaotic sea, and the quiet, peaceful water of the river in the heaven. There is destruction by the earthly sea, but the life is given by the heavenly river. This life-giving river flowing from God's very presence actually is a common theme in the Bible. We can see this illustration first in the Garden of Eden. The rivers, the four rivers, were flowing from the garden. And also in the completed New Jerusalem, there is a river. Then the psalmist sees that God himself is in the midst of this city. And therefore, the city shall not be moved. Notice that this verse intentionally kind of uses the same words as the first stanza. The mountains are thought to be solid and stable, but where did they end up? They were moved into the midst of the chaotic sea. But this city of God will not be moved because God is in the midst of her. Her confidence is that God will help her when morning dawns, as morning sunlight drives away the darkness. However, still in this second stanza, we still see the echo kind of the earthly chaotic situation. In the next verse, here we see the nations roaring like sea. The chaos is personalized in the form of nations here. But God speaks and the threat melts, the Bible speaks. The psalmist concludes this second stanza with the statement, "The Lord of hosts is with us." The phrase of hosts literally means of armies, indicating that this God is really also militarily powerful. This imagery of this powerful, mighty God of armies being with us continues in the final stanza, which we will consider next. So in the second stanza, we see the heavenly picture of the peace. And finally, in the third stanza, the psalmist fixes his eyes back on the earth again. He says, "Come, behold." And what does he see here? What do we see here? We see the desolation which God has brought on the earth. We come and see God's work judging the wicked, and he makes the wars cease by breaking their bows, spears, and their chariots. And then God says, "Be still and know that I am God." This phrase, "know that I am God," to know God, it's not merely a kind of like a philosophical concept. It's not just something like you have the knowledge of God in general. In fact, this phrase means much more than that. We do see this phrase often in the book of Exodus, where we see God actually revealing himself as a deliverer for his people. God actually reveals himself as a deliverer of his people. For example, Exodus, the first two verses of Exodus 10 reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians, and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am Lord.'" That you may know that I am Lord. So here you see that God is not simply a God who is merely up in heaven in a quiet, peaceful dwelling and disconnected from the chaos of this world. Rather, the Lord of the army actually intervenes with this world. He actually interacts with us. He's not just merely looking at us from a distance in heaven. Instead, he is actually with us. He is interacting with us on this earth. And we do see this very fact from his great works in the past. He is the Lord who delivered from his people from the bondage of Egypt. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of hosts who judged Israel's enemy by bringing desolation on this earth. So this psalmist is not just kind of vaguely recognizing that the Lord is with him, but instead he is confirming that by looking to the past actual history, he is confirming that God has been always in charge. He has been always interacting with his people. And God has actually been a refuge for his people in the history. So the psalmist is looking to the past at first. And then this psalm extends its view to an eschatological focus, the focus to the future. As the Lord is seen being exalted among the nations on the earth. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Here we see, an echo of Psalm 2 and or other psalms as well, but especially the second psalm, where the nations are raging against the Lord's anointed, and the Lord breaks them like clay vessels. The time is coming when these enemies will face their end. And we notice here that the Psalm 46 is not only looking to the past history, but also looking forward. And God will bring an end to his enemies. And after that, after looking to the past and looking to the future, the psalmist concludes this whole psalm by repeating the same phrase of verse 7 again in verse 11. He emphasizes that the Lord of armies is with us. And therefore, he is our refuge. He is our fortress. The Lord who has delivered his people from Egypt and brought desolation to his enemies in the past, and the Lord who will bring end to all his enemies and will be exalted among the nations in the future. This Lord is with us in the present. This Lord is with us now. That is why this psalmist is so confident. That is why he does not fear in the midst of the chaotic situation around him. So far, we have examined why the psalmist can so boldly say that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, without being afraid in the midst of chaos. But now I would like to think about this psalm's connection with Jesus, with Christ. And this leads us to applying this text more clearly, I think, in our daily life. In fact, the meaning of this psalm becomes really more vivid to us when we consider its connection to Christ. We have perceived that this psalmist could truly recognize that God is not in the distance, but he is with him, with us in the present, as he contemplates, as the psalmist contemplates God's work in the past and in the future. But brothers and sisters, let us consider now that how much greater privilege we have than this psalmist did back in the time of the Old Testament. Yes, this psalmist and all the Israelites could look back to their experience in the Exodus event from Egypt, and they could remember God's mighty control and help in those days in their history. And later, they could see the judgment. They actually saw the judgment God poured out upon Babylon, which led to the Israelites' return to Jerusalem. However, those who were living in the Old Testament time had to still look forward to the final accomplishment of God's redemption, God's redemptive work, which was completed by the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. So how about us? We see here that we are given the privilege of seeing the fulfillment of God's great redemption, God's great work of redemption through Jesus' cross and resurrection. We know that it had happened for us. Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world for our sake. And he accomplished redemption by sacrificing himself on the cross as an atonement for our very sin. Jesus died for our sin. And in fact, we see a surprising twist on Jesus' cross here. In Psalm 46, it is the earth with the raging nations that melts by God's words. It is God's enemies who experience his wrath. However, on the cross, it was Jesus himself who experienced his Father's wrath. We see the greatest desolation on the cross when God pours out his wrath upon his own Son. On the cross, the Father is not being a refuge for Jesus. Jesus experienced and accomplished the act of redemption. He took our sins and he went on the cross. He did all these things for the sake of us, the God's people. But Jesus' ministry on earth did not end on his cross, as you know. He gained victory over the power, over death, over sin, over Satan. And he rose from the dead on the third day and ascended into heaven. And there, in heaven, Jesus continues to rule over the earth. He continues to intercede for us with God the Father. He is sending the Holy Spirit for us, and he intercedes between us, the God's people, and the Father. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." Through his work, we can be truly with the Lord. Through Jesus Christ, we are with the Lord. The Lord is with us. Jesus truly accomplished the meaning of his given title, Immanuel, meaning God with us. He is Immanuel. He is fulfilling his title. Do you remember what Jesus said in the end of his great commission to his disciples? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus clearly told this to his disciples. So we have been given faith to observe Christ's redemptive work in the past, in the history. We know that it happened. And we also await for his second coming, Jesus the Lord, the Messiah's second coming, to judge the world in the future. The book of Revelation ends with the expectation of Jesus. Jesus is coming by saying, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." We truly await for the Lord's second coming in the future. So we too look to our past, the Jesus's cross and resurrection that happened for us. And we do see our future, the second coming of Jesus to judge this world and truly accomplish his redemption here on this earth. Indeed, this is what we remember when we partake in the Lord's Supper. We always listen to the famous passage we hear every time we share in the sacrament of communion. The 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Meaning, we remember Jesus' cross and resurrection in the past, looking back to the past. And then the passage continues, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death in the present." You proclaim his death now in the present until he comes in the future. So in the Lord's Supper too, we do these. We look back to the past, we look forward to the future, and we focus in the present. So as God's people, we are able to look back to Jesus' cross and resurrection for the sake of our redemption, for the sake of our own sin in the past, in the history. And we as Christians look forward to Christ's coming in the future. And based on these, we live in present, encouraged by recognizing that God is with us through the work of Christ and through the work of Holy Spirit. We can fully be encouraged and enjoy this Psalm 46 by recognizing that the Lord Christ is with us now. And the Lord is with us by the work, the very work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the psalmist was encouraged by this psalm, and as was Martin Luther and other reformers did 500 years ago, let us truly appreciate and be encouraged by this wonderful truth from our Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Let us rise and pray. Dear Lord, our Father, we thank you for this word you have given us this morning. You are our refuge and strength, and we will not fear because of you. Lord, because you are with us, we will not fear So Father, we are thankful that you have shown your mighty works throughout the history in the past. And most of all, through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the cross and resurrection of your Son. Father, so please really do make us fix our eyes on your mighty works in past and in future. And Lord, please make us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who has completed redemption for us and who is seated in heaven and even now interceding for us. Lord, please continue to guide us through your Spirit so that we can always have confidence and peace in our life because you are with us through Jesus Christ. Please make us not to fear, but instead please make us recognize and please make us really confident that you are with us through your Son, Jesus Christ. In our Lord Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.